Hola, mi nombre es Josué Villalobos. Vivo en Seattle, Washington. Mis pronombres son él.
我的名字是周宇飞，我是从中国来的，我一直在这儿住着，可是我父母是中国人。
أنا زكي حميد، أنا فلسطيني وأنا انولدت وعشت بالأردن.
Mi nombre es Gustavo Sagrero. Mis papás, yo nací en Boise, Idaho, en los Estados Unidos, y mis papás son de Pátzcuaro, Michoacán, en México. Ellos son descendientes de la gente purépecha.
Je m'appelle Leila, je suis sénégalaise, mais la belle langue de mon pays est Wolof.
Language is the foundation of life. All of our actions, perspectives, and cultures stem from how we communicate with others. When our communities are tied to their methods of communication, what happens when we lose that ability?
Welcome to another episode of the Radioactive Podcast. My name is Red Dabibi. I'm 16 years old, and I'm Ethiopian.
My name is Maymuna Yusuf. I'm 18 years old, and I'm Oromo and Somali.
And my name is Ilham Mohammed. I'm 17, and I'm Ethiopian.
Radioactive is a program at KUOW Public Radio in Seattle.
And in this episode, we're discussing what it's like being distant from our native languages. Ilham, Red, and I are all first-generation East African women who struggle with preserving our native tongue. Especially living in the United States and being conditioned to adapt to the norms, this has caused us to feel disconnected with our languages we either speak, understand, and might have forgotten along the way.
Red, I know that you speak fluent Amharic. What was that like for you?
Yeah, being first gen, I feel like I experienced linguistic struggles firsthand and quickly had to realize that our bilingualism can be viewed as a weakness from a young age. I did everything I could to avoid speaking Amharic because for one, I didn't know how to anymore. And another being that around ages 5 to 9, I didn't see the use of it anymore. So my thought process was that if I'm in America, why can't I just speak English? Like, it just kind of clicked to me around 10 years old that I needed to know the language of my ancestors when I was sent back home to Ethiopia on my own to spend an entire summer with my grandparents, who are also non-English speakers. So I knew I had to do something about my lack of ability then.
Yeah, I get what you mean. For me, I grew up speaking my language fluently. Being a kid who was raised in Ethiopia for about 4 years, coming to the U.S. and learning how to accommodate and how to learn American customs was extremely hard for me. My siblings, my cousins, most of my family all spoke English, and I constantly felt left out. So growing up, I saw myself drifting away from my native language.
Yeah. So Maymuna, what languages did you speak in your home?
Growing up in a family of 12 in Seattle in itself was interesting, to say the least. Both of my parents speak Oromo and Somali, so naturally I understood it for the most part. But when my siblings and I went to school, where they obviously spoke English, it made its way into our home where we started speaking it until it just kind of like finally stuck. I fully understand Oromo and a bit of Somali, but I don't speak either of them, unfortunately.
Wow. I wonder what the science is behind understanding a language but not speaking it. Like, that's so common. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's just because our minds probably work faster than our mouths, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it either. I think it's just always been that way.
When did you guys really learn the importance of language?
I learned the importance of language when I was in a particularly tricky situation, translating for my grandmother at customs and throughout international travels, alone at 10 years old, may I add. And I just spent the entire summer with her trying to perfect my Amharic. So when me and my grandmother traveled back, I realized I wasn't as good as I thought when I almost had us arrested for misinterpreting to the police and trying to translate what I couldn't.
Oh my God.
That is so scary.
No way.
Yeah.
For me, I learned the importance very recently, around 15, which was like 2 years ago. I went to LA with my cousins, and me and my cousin kind of had like an epiphany that we needed to learn our language. So we asked my older sister, who's fluent in Amharic, to teach us for the whole entire trip. So for the whole trip, we only spoke Amharic, not English. It was such a fun experience and made me so much closer to my culture.
I always knew that my native language was important, literally ever since I was a kid. But around the ages of 10 to 12 was when the question, why don't you know your language, started to come up a lot. And it really frustrated me, and it made me feel guilty at one point. Like, I started to question myself and basically was like, oh my God, everyone knows their language, but look at me. Especially when I would see my younger family members speak Oromo to their parents and I couldn't. It was embarrassing, and it really got to me. I felt lost, confused, discouraged, and so on. But as I got older, I started to do a lot of reflection and took a step back and realized it was pretty much out of my control.
Wow, that's very relatable, Maimuna. I feel like every multilingual has that sort of realization at some point. What was it like being raised in America as a first-generation student? And did you feel the need to fall in line with the American lifestyle?
Yeah, so that's a good question. In my personal experience, growing up in elementary school, wearing a hijab, I felt stripped of certain identities because sometimes I would be told I wasn't truly black because I was Muslim. Which isn't true, by the way.
At all.
I didn't understand the concept of race. That definitely pushed me away from my culture and my language as well. I wish that young me would have known that those words of those children were insignificant.
Very insignificant.
Personally, not really, no. Mostly because I'm still very thankful to be able to follow my culture on a day-to-day basis. Whether that's eating certain foods, wearing cultural attire on special occasions, I'm still actively participating. Not only that, but I am Muslim, so my lifestyle isn't the same compared to the average American, you know? However, there were times in high school where I felt like I was missing out on living an American high school experience, you know, going to parties, prom, and so on. But I knew that was something I probably wouldn't even remember in the next 10 years. So what was the point of turning my back on my morals if it wasn't going to give me anything good in return? And, you know, it was and still is a roller coaster dealing with so many different identities, being a first-generation East African Muslim woman living in the States and just seeing how different you are while also simultaneously staying true to yourself.
Yeah, I think I definitely feel the need to fall in line with the American lifestyle to an extent. I would never sacrifice my language or important cultural elements like eating the food often or that certain kind of Ethiopian hospitality I always try to carry out to all people, Ethiopian or not. I still have many years as a student to experience, but I'm grateful that the environment I grew up in hasn't brought much judgment upon diversity, but simple appreciation. That helps me conform to my own personal lifestyle, which is a mix of both American and Ethiopian culture.
Yeah, I definitely relate with that, Red. What about languages do you guys appreciate the most?
I think I love the kind of mental aspect behind it. Like, once you learn a language, I think in particular a native language, it becomes so much easier for your brain to pick up and understand its sister languages in the same language family. For example, knowing Amharic, which is a Semitic language, will allow you to learn other Semitic languages much easier, such as Tigrinya, Arabic, Yiddish, and Ge'ez. Ge'ez, which is the original language of the Ethiopian Empire, and is now a dead language, so having that connection to the former people and rulers of that powerful empire is so interesting to me. I mean, how cool is that?
I think for me, it has to be the way it brings people closer together. Me and Red speak the same language, and most of the time, me and her speak to each other in Amharic, and it has truly brought us closer together. It connects you to your people and people who have the same background.
That's so true. You find such a connection within languages. It's amazing.
Yes, I totally agree. I tend to bond with people who look quite similar to me. Like, if I notice we're either the only Africans or hijabis in the room, in my head I'm thinking we're going to be great friends. I almost kind of create a mentality of solidarity, kind of like a I see you, you see me type of thing. For example, when I met a colleague at Radioactive who was both Somali and Muslim, it was just really comforting and a familiar type of thing. So I truly just appreciate the way languages can be a way to communicate with those of similar backgrounds, but could also reach out to others who, you know, don't come from similar backgrounds and still be able to create that same bond.
Thank you for being a part of this conversation with us. If you feel distant from your native language, we want you to know that you're not alone. I believe that this topic isn't very well spoken about. It has given us all an understanding of our struggles with our own culture. Now we are fully aware that we need that connection.
You've been listening to a Radioactive Youth Media Podcast.
I'm Red Dabibi.
This is Maimuna Yusuf.
And I'm Ilham Muhammad.
Our mentors were Michelle Aguilar Ramirez and Abigail Lee. Our editor was Leela Lakehart.
Listen to more Radioactive podcasts at kow.org/radioactive. Find us on social media at KUOW Radioactive.
Woo! Woo! Bye, guys!
Bye, guys! Oh, we did it. Cute.